إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. All praises due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our deeds and actions. Wherever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray. And wherever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one will be able to guide them. And I publicly, without any coercion, bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He is alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qurashi al-Hashimi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his abd, his slave, and his rasul, his messenger. As to what follows, surely the best speech is the book of Allah, the Quran. And the best guidance is the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all things in this religion of ours, al-Islam, are newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter in this religion is an innovation. And every innovation is a going astray. And every astray is in the hellfire. After praising Allah and lauding Him and extolling Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and after seeking the forgiveness of Allah and seeking the assistance of Allah and seeking refuge with Allah from all of the things that Allah created that as a result of the doings of the human beings become evil, and after sending salutations on His last messenger and prophet to all human beings, to all of mankind, who was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, who was born in the city of Mecca and died in the city of Medina in Arabia. I then thank you, the Muslims, who have coordinated this affair, this talk on the difference between Islam and pseudo-Islam, for inviting me here for the first time in my life ever speaking on a military base, for inviting me here to talk about this subject. I don't know how many non-Muslims we have here, or how many new Muslims we have here, but we'd like to make some preliminary statements. And those preliminary statements are, number one, that when we discuss what is Islam, and when we discuss what is pseudo-Islam, or what is not Islam, we want you to keep in mind that it is not the opinion of the speaker on what is Islam. It is not the opinion of the speaker on what is Islam. Likewise, for those of you who are new Muslims, or those of you who are contemplating becoming Muslims, or those of you who are not Muslims, whatever religion you may be of, we also want you to know that when we say that this is pseudo-Islam, or that this is not Islam, likewise, it is not the opinion of the speaker. It is not my personal opinion when I stand in front of you today on this military base to tell you that this is not Islam, or these are people are not Muslims, or this has nothing to do with Islam. It is not my opinion, but rather it is from the statements of the Lord of the world Himself, from the Quran, and the statement of the Messenger of Allah who was sent to all mankind. Because I have no opinion, and if I did have an opinion and it's not in agreement with the Quran, the book that was sent, to all people, no matter if they were black or white, Arab or non-Arab, and it is not in agreement or in consonance with the statements of the Messenger of Allah or his actions, then you need to take what I'm saying today and take it to the nearest garbage dump on this base and put it in the garbage, because my opinion will be worth nothing. The most important thing is what the Creator of the heavens and the earth has said. And if he and his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said something is Islam, then that is Islam. And if they have said that something is not Islam, whether explicitly or implicitly, then it is not Islam. Muhammad Qaddafi, Louis Farrakhan, Khomeini, the white man is the devil. The white man is the devil, blowing up the World Trade Center building, attempting to blow up the Holland and Lincoln Tunnel in New York. Women have to walk behind the men at least 10 paces. Women are considered property of the men. A man can marry as many women as he can afford that he desires. Jihad is holy war. And we can go on and on and on. And these things that we've mentioned either A, have absolutely nothing to do with Islam, or B, very little to do with Islam. Either A, they have nothing whatsoever to do with the religion of Islam, or B, almost nothing to do with Islam. In the religion of Islam, and those of us who are Muslims, of course, we have to be patient because we know these things. We know that the most important aspect of our religion, of Al-Islam, the main focus of our religion, is based on two things. Number one, knowing who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Because once the person knows who the creator of the heavens and the earth is, once they have that concept or ideology, for lack of a better word, fixed and focused in their minds and hearts, they know who the Lord of the world is, then the next step is to know what does that Lord demand of you. And as one of the great people of the past, one of the great scholars in the 8th century, who died in the 8th century, his name was Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَوْ عَرَفَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ رَبَّهُ فَكَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ شَيْئًا. He said that the people that Allah created, who are slaves to Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of the world, the master of the day of judgment and requital, those individuals that he created, we the human beings, the slaves of Allah, and he is our master. He said, if they were to know everything, if they were to know everything, computer science, nuclear physics, no matter what it is, and they don't know their Lord, it is as though they don't know anything. So the most important thing for the human being is to find out who is their Lord. And once they determine who is their Lord, then they must find out what that Lord demands from them. This is the crux of the religion of Islam. This is the main focus of the religion or the deen of Islam. That is, that we try to find out who is our Lord. And our Lord is Allah, a name that is befitting the one who created everything, and he himself is not created. And this Lord, whose name is Allah, a name which is not befitting any human being, a name which is befitting only he himself, the creator, the giver of life and the cause of death. This Lord, whose name is Allah, a name which is not befitting any creature, deer, roach, dog, the sun, human being, angel, only this name Allah is befitting the one who created all of these things. When we understand who this Allah is, that he is just that, the giver of life and the causer of death, And He is the beneficent, and He is the merciful. He is the one who is perfect without any defect. And all of the other beautiful names and perfect attributes that He has, once we understand that, then we'll realize that we cannot worship Him in a manner other than the way He has told us to worship Him. And that worship is called al-Islam. And this is the subject today. What is al-Islam, and what is the difference between al-Islam and pseudo-Islam? What is the difference between Muslims and those who claim to be Muslim? What is the difference between Islam and pseudo-Islam? Islam is a word that many of the writers, both Muslims and non-Muslims, have made the mistake and said that it means peace. In reality, the word Islam, which is a verbal noun, does not mean peace. As a result of the person accepting Allah as their Lord and obeying Him and obeying the Prophet that He sent, whose name was Muhammad, the person will eventually, he or she, have peace in their lives. But the word Islam, in reality, does not mean, as some writers have written, peace. In actuality, Islam is a verbal noun which means to submit oneself lovingly, willingly, obediently, submissively, without any compulsion, to Allah, the Lord of the world, the creator of the heavens and the earth. This religion, better than that, this way of life, called Islam, is for every single human being. And when Allah chose in His infinite wisdom to give us Islam, not the Muslims, but the entirety of mankind, to give us, the human beings, Islam as a way of life, He was not displeased with it. He was not displeased to give us Islam as a way of life, but rather He was pleased. As He says in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day, I have completed my favor to you. This is the Lord of the world speaking. I have completed on this day as a favor to you. And I'm pleased, after the completion of this favor, to give to you as a way of life this thing called al-Islam, Islam. Total submission to the will of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. But unfortunately for us, there are some things that have come about in history that have the semblance of Islam. Outwardly, it looks like Islam. Even sometimes it has the color of Islam. And even sometimes it has the aroma of Islam. But in actuality, it is not Islam, or it is pseudo-Islam, or it's neo-Islam. One of the best ways to determine what is the difference between Islam and pseudo-Islam is to go back to that original principle of knowing who the Lord is. In the religion of Islam, the belief of the Lord of the world is that He, Allah, as we said earlier, is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that the basic concept of the creator, or the belief in the creator, is that He Himself is not created. No other religion in existence, including, and I'm well aware of where I am, on this military base, in this chapel, I believe this is a chapel, right? This is a part of the chapel, part of the chapel. That no religion in existence believes that the creator of the heavens and the earth is unequivocally, totally, without any exception, in His unicity and uniqueness, the creator. And that all of His attributes are just that, the attributes of the creator, except Islam. And I challenge, on this base, or anywhere in the world, for anyone to deny this or prove me wrong, that Islam is the only religion that gives, as people say today, the creator of the heavens and the earth is God. That the creator of the heavens and the earth, the belief of the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah, is the belief that He is the creator and He has no attributes, no qualities or characteristics of the creation. As for the other religions, in their various denominations and sects, no matter what denomination of Judaism or Christianity or Hinduism or other than that, they all believe and espouse and say with their mouths that, yes, there is one creator. But at the same time, at the other corner of their mouths, they say that this creator shares in his creational attributes with other things of the creation. This is the main determining factor, the main ingredient to distinguish that which is between Islam and pseudo-Islam. The distinguishing factor between Islam and pseudo-Islam is not politics. The distinguishing factor between what is Islam and what is not Islam is not an economic program. It is not a system based on socialism or the amount of followers that that so-called Muslim group has. That's not the criteria to distinguish the difference between Islam and pseudo-Islam. The first and most fundamental principle or ingredient to determine what is Islam is how do those people who claim to be Muslims and have the religion of Islam view the creator of the heavens and earth. That is the litmus test. Ask that person who claims to be in Islam or claims to be a Muslim, do you believe that God is a man? If they say yes, that is not Islam and they are not Muslim. We'll say it again in case my voice is not being heard. Any person that says that God is a man, any person that says that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who placed the sun in the sky in a manner befitting his majesty, in a manner that only he knows how he did it, and you would have to have a very tall ladder and some high-powered asbestos gloves to put that sun up in the sky if you're a man and you say you're God too. I repeat, to say that God is a man and that man is God is the height of absurdity. No one could be more foolish than to say that the creator of the heavens and the earth has sexual organs, or that the creator of the heavens and the earth performs anthropomorphic acts like having children, or that the creator of the heavens and the earth is born in February in some mountains from a woman who is white and a father who is black, and that father's name is Alfonso and that woman's name is Baby G. Anyone who believes that the creator of the heavens and the earth can be placed on a cross, or for some other sect, a tree, or for some other sect, a stake or a piece of wood. Anyone who believes that the creator of the heavens and the earth can be crucified, killed at the hands of some human being that he himself created, or that the creator of the heavens and the earth died, or that the creator of the heavens and the earth can't hear everything, or see everything, or knows everything, and has power over everything, then that might be Christianity, that might be Judaism, that might be Hinduism, or any other religion, but that can't be Islam. It's impossible. It's impossible for that to be Islam, and it's impossible for that person to be a Muslim, and we would not say as Muslims that that is a sect of Islam. No Muslim who understands who is their Lord would say that that's just another type of Muslim. He believes that God is a man. He believes that God is a black man. He's another type of Muslim. He's different from me, but he's still a Muslim. No Muslim in their right mind would say that about that person. Because Islam distinguishes the creator from the creation. For instance, one of the distinguishing factors in Islam is that the creator of the heavens and the earth is the one who is outside of his creation. He's above his creation. He is not connected to his creation in the sense of his nature. Meaning, the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah, is not in this room, as other religions believe. He's not in my heart, as some other religions believe. He is not everywhere, as some religions believe. but rather he is where he says he is, and he's not in a place, because he created places, and he's above places which are created. He is where he says he is, which is above his throne, as mentioned in the Quran, the final revelation sent to mankind. So anyone who would bring him down from his state of transcendency and sublimity and place him with the creatures like the squirrels and their acorns, or the ants and the scorpions in their hole, anyone who would place the Lord of the world in a bathroom or a sewer hole or a crack vial, because that's what you're doing if you say that he's everywhere. For to be everywhere, you have to be in everything. To be everywhere, you have to be in everything. Anyone who does that, believes that, practices that, this is not Islam. And they're not a Muslim. Or I should say, they are Muslim if they believe that, and they're mistaken. And may Allah guide all of us to the correct belief. Another one of the most important distinguishing factors between Islam and pseudo-Islam is that the belief of a final messenger and prophet to all mankind. And that is the belief of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the son of a man called Abdullah, who was born over 1400 years ago in the country called Arabia, in the city of Mecca. This man named Muhammad was not an angel. He was not an angel. He was a human being. But the difference between him and us in his humanness, the difference between him and us in his being a human being, is that he received revelation from the Lord of the world, the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah. And that distinguishing factor puts him high above us, though he is still a human being. This man named Muhammad, of those of you who are not Muslims, you need to get to know, was the perfect example for all human beings. Was the perfect example for all human beings. And his call, his propagation was a call to worshiping the Lord of the world by himself. And this message that he delivered over a 23-year period before his death was the same message that the prophets and messengers delivered before him. Those prophets like Moses, those prophets like Abraham, those prophets like Noah, those prophets like Suleiman or Solomon, those prophets like John, commonly known the Baptist, those prophets like Jesus. He delivered the same message that those prophets delivered, and he did not fail in his mission. He did not fail one iota in his mission. And that message is to bear witness, that the entirety of mankind should bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah, that he's alone, he has no partner, he's the giver of life, he's the cause of death, he himself will never die, and to bear witness that he, the deliverer of that message, Muhammad, not Elijah Muhammad, not Silas Muhammad, not Sam Muhammad, not Billy Muhammad, not Gail Muhammad, but Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is the seal of the messengers and the finality of prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of them. Ameen. This man, Muhammad, was a perfect man. He was a man who was a man, but he was a perfect man. And one of the great things about this man is that he didn't separate himself from the people. And he didn't call himself a god or invite people to worship him. As the other prophets who came before him, they did not likewise separate themselves from the people, as some people who claim to be prophets today, or for the sisters and the women's sake, prophetesses, and they make themselves aloof from the people. And they go into the mountains like some guru, and they look down at the people in disdain and separate themselves and say these people are doomed for destruction and I'm a prophet who's going to prophesy this or that. No. This man, Muhammad, like the prophets and messengers before him, didn't separate himself from the people. Rather, he lived with the people. He intermingled with the people. But at the same time, he guided them to worshiping their Lord, never once, like the prophets and messengers before him, saying that he was divine. Never once did he say that he was holy. Never once did he say that he was to be worshipped. He always focused the worship to the one who created everything. This man, Muhammad, was given the Quran. And as we know him, as one of the historians here in this country, whose name was, I believe, Michael Hart, if my memory serves me correctly, he had written a book that maybe some of you should read sometimes after reading the Quran. After reading the Quran, a book that I believe the title, and please forgive me for not giving the correct title, The 100 Most Influential Men in History. I believe that's the name of the book. The 100 Most Influential Men in History. This is written by a non-Muslim Jew. A non-Muslim Jew. Out of 15 some odd years or 16 years of study and research, he determined that out of all the personalities from the billions, trillions of human beings that have walked on this mundane existence called Earth, Napoleon, no matter who it is, Jesus, all of the great personalities of history, he placed the Prophet Muhammad at the top of the list. A non-Muslim did this. He placed the Prophet Muhammad at the top of the list. And the reason why, in a nutshell, that he placed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the top of the list is because he said his life was a total life. This man, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this man, Michael Hart, who wrote this book, placed the Prophet Muhammad, the finality of prophets, at the top of the list because he said he was a total man. What did he mean by a total man? The discussion today is the difference between Islam and pseudo-Islam. The difference between Islam and false Islam. Or, in this uncoded age, un-Islam. What was the determining factors? What were the qualities that this man had that made him place Michael Hart, placed Muhammad above everyone else? Out of all those people, number one, he said that he was, and we're not saying it in order, that he completed his mission. That he completed his mission. That everything that he set out to do, Muhammad did. And he perfected it, and he completed it. Number two, that he was a family man, i.e., he was married, and he had children. Some of the other personalities had that, and some of them didn't, like Jesus. Jesus never married, and Jesus never had children. And as much work as Jesus did, and we send salutations of peace and blessings upon him, he still did not have that ingredient that people can use as an example in their marital lives. Muhammad had that example, because he married sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had children. Also, Muhammad was a statesman. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a statesman, and he was the best of statesmen. Also, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a social reformer. He was the best of social reformers. And if you go back as an example and look at his detoxification program for ridding people of alcohol abuse from that time, you'll see that his program for detoxification and rehabilitation is the best. And if you employed it in your system today, you would rid the people of all types of abuses and addiction. The other people can't brag of this or boast of this. but Muhammad 10, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also find in the life of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him being a military man. And some of the other personalities that Michael Hart spoke about were military men. But we find that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the perfect military man. In fact, he was so perfect a military man, he was a man who, even though he was a prophet and went into war, his system and the principles that revolves around his strategy of war, today is still being used even by this military in this country, some of them, even by this country, and this can be proven. And at the same time, he was one who was gentle to the people who he was making war on. And that might sound strange to people when we know the reality of war, that we find Muhammad instructing his followers when they went into war and they're battling on the battlefield with their weapons, that when you see a tree that has fruit, don't destroy it or chop it down. That when you see women, unless they are picking up the sword and fighting against you, don't strike them and don't bother them. If they are women of the enemy, when you see children, leave those children alone. And in today's war, everything goes. Everything goes. We find Muhammad being a man who is gentle. So much so that if the enemy had lost his sword and or his shield or his weapon of any type, and he had fallen to the ground, and they were about to kill him, which is a part of war, and that person who is now the felled enemy standing in front of him or any of his followers would say, "La ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah," he would be immediately left alone. And even when if he didn't say that, and he was taken as a prisoner of war, which is a reality of war, he would be taken as a prisoner of war, and he would be fed and clothed exactly like the people who have imprisoned him. The people who have taken him as a prisoner of war would feed him from what they ate and clothe him, the prisoner, the POW, from what they are wearing. And even if that person, that enemy in war, had some ability to teach the Muslims, Muhammad, from the revelation of Allah in the Quran, was inspired to allow that person to teach 10 of the Muslims, and if they taught 10 of the Muslims, to release them, give them their freedom, manumit them from being a prisoner of war. We don't find this being done. And this is one of the small, many reasons that Michael Hart put Muhammad above. But even more than that, out of all these qualities, that person who is considered the messenger of Allah, the messenger of God, the prophet sent to all mankind, which is a part of Islam, to distinguish it from pseudo-Islam, when that person says they are a messenger of Allah, we will never, ever, ever find that person lying, especially on Allah, the Lord of the world. That's one of the distinguishing factors between messengership and prophethood in Islam and non or un-Islam, that the prophet or the messenger is not a liar. And that's why when the Prophet Muhammad, when he just in the early days of Islam had received the first few verses of revelation, in the very early days of Islam, when he stood at the head of a mountain and he called all the people of his town called Mecca together, all of the pagan tribes, he said, "If I were to tell you people right now that an army was behind that mountain about to invade you, would you believe me?" And all of those people who weren't Muslims, who knew Muhammad for 40 years, 40 years. Can you imagine living in Glen Burnie? Can you imagine living in Elkridge? Can you imagine living in Baltimore City? And someone who knows you for 40 or 50 years is going to say what I'm about to say, what they said about him. If I were to tell you that there was a mountain, there was an army behind that mountain about to attack you right now, would you people believe me? They said, "Of course, you're El Amin." The name that they gave him means the trustworthy. "You are El Amin."
We've never, ever, ever known you to tell a lie. 40 years. How many of us can brag that? How many of us can boast that? I'm 45 years old. May Allah forgive me. I know I've told some lies. Can any of you say that at 16, 18, 23, 25? You never told a lie. Ever in your life. Come on now. That's up. None of you ever told a lie? Even if you haven't, I'm not going to call you a prophet. I'm not going to do that. That's un-Islam and pseudo-Islam. In real Islam, I can't call you a prophet just because you didn't lie. Of course we would believe you. You're El-Amin. We've never, not one person, the whole town, all the pagan tribes and their leaders. You know how difficult it is to hide a lie? You know how difficult it is to hide a lie? Eventually it has to come out. Eventually. We've never known you to tell a lie. He said, okay. Well, he didn't say okay, I'm saying okay. He said, then, I'm telling you that there's nothing worthy of worship as a deed except Allah, and I am his messenger, and there's going to come a dreadful day, that if you don't accept Islam, you will receive this and that. And then, of course, we know what the history says about that story, that they said, Tebbet laka, may you be perished, O Muhammad. You call us out here to do that, tell us that? Are you wasting our time? Is that the reason why you call us out? The point is that a prophet and a messenger would never, ever tell a lie. Ever. You would never find a messenger of God having sex with his own daughter. This is madness. You would never find a messenger of God drinking alcohol. You would never find a messenger of God committing adultery or fornication. You would never find a messenger of God usurping or embezzling money from people. You would never find a messenger of God more than all of those things lying on the God, Allah, who sent him. So if you want to know what is Islam from un-Islam or pseudo-Islam or false Islam, then you have to look at also the messenger. What and who is the messenger that they claim? For instance, Louis Farrakhan. He teaches, for those people who think that he's a Muslim, he's not. Let's get the record straight up front. Louis Farrakhan teaches that his teacher, who's Elijah Muhammad, is the messenger of God. He is the messenger of God, inspired by God, received revelation from God, and if you don't believe in him as the messenger of God, you, as black people, not the other ones, will be destroyed. This man, Elijah Muhammad, we don't have to go into detail about his life. Some of us saw the picture of Malcolm X, so we don't have to go into detail about his life. We know what he did. At least we know what was publicized. And what was publicized was enough to let us know that he was not the messenger of Allah and that what he taught wasn't Islam. That we do know. Because messengers don't lie, and messengers don't commit adultery, and messengers don't embezzle money or steal money from their followers. Another determining factor or distinguishing factor in terms of the messengership which distinguishes Islam from pseudo-Islam is that that messenger that is sent by the Lord of the world, that prophet that is sent to all mankind, he always follows the script. He never improvises. He always follows the script. He only says that what he is inspired with to say. If Allah in the Quran says, say this, O Muhammad, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَانٌ فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you, O Prophet Muhammad, about menstruation. Say to them, O Muhammad, that it is an injury or harm, that it is something that is defective in the woman. So stay away from the women, meaning don't be intimate with them while they're having their menses. When the Prophet Muhammad was given this revelation, he would have never deviated from that revelation. When Allah said, say this, he would have never said, well, I think I'll change the words and say it this way. He would have never done that. But rather, he stuck to what he was taught by the Lord of the world. In addition to this, as one of the determining factors of Islam from Pseudo-Islam, is that Islam is for everyone. And there is no restriction on color. There is no restriction on class. There is no restriction on ethnicity. That Islam is for every single human being. But we need to make a clarification. Because if I use the word human being, one of Farrakhan's followers might say, well, that's right. It's for every human being. But white people are not human beings. And this is what Farrakhan teaches. I'm not making this up. You can read his teachings. Elijah Muhammad taught Farrakhan, and Farrakhan teaches his followers that white people are not human beings. So for me to stand in front of you now on this base for me and say that Islam is for every human being, Farrakhan or one of his followers might agree with me. They might agree with me because they believe that only black people are human beings. And white people are beasts, snakes, and the skunks of the planet Earth. Now whether you agree with that or not, and I'm not going to say anything more than that because I know this is a federal base here and I'm on federal property. I know what to say and what not to say. In Islam, we believe that Islam is for everyone. There's no such thing as a black Islam. There's no such thing as black with a capital B Muslim, with an uppercase B Muslim. Of course, there are Muslims who are black with a lowercase, small letter B, black Muslim. But there's no such thing as black Muslim and everyone else is not. No, Islam is the way of life for every single human being. And it's very interesting that this Islam that Hillary Clinton spoke about just a year or two ago, that's documented, when she stood in front of the world and said that Islam, this real Islam, not the other Islam, not the pseudo-Islam, not the false Islam, not the un-Islam, but this Islam, this land that we're talking about today, is the fastest growing religion in America. This is what the President of the United States, in reality, said. Mrs. Clinton. I'm thankful that I'm living here. I can say things like that. In another country, I probably couldn't say that. But I'm on an Army base, or I should say not Army base, but Air Force base, talking about the President of the United States. Of course, I'll probably be whisked out of here in a few minutes. But I hope not. Because we want him to accept Islam too. And may Allah guide him and his wife and everyone to Islam. Ameen. Islam is for everyone. And yes, it is the fastest growing religion in America. It is the fastest growing religion in the world. It is the fastest growing religion in the military. It is the fastest growing religion in prisons. It is the fastest growing religion on college campuses. These are the statistics of non-Muslims. And the phenomena of the fastest growing religion, which is Islam, as opposed to pseudo-Islam, the phenomena of it is that they can't figure out, without any billboards, without any national advertising, without any major television shows or radio programs, they can't figure it out. How is it that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the United States without any publicity? It is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, firstly, Allah says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقَّ لِيُظْهِرَ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. And in another ayah, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. It is He, Allah, who has sent His messenger, Muhammad, with the religion of truth, the real religion of truth. He has sent Muhammad with the religion of truth, and it will prevail and overcome and conquer all other religions. Not by blowing up the World Trade Center, not by trying to overthrow governments. This is not Islamic. And I hope this microphone is working. This is not Islamic to blow up buildings in Oklahoma, in New York, or otherwise. It's not Islamic to strap a bomb to yourself and throw yourself into a barracks and kill people. This is not Islam. This is un-Islam. Allah says it is He, Allah, who sent His messenger Muhammad. لِيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارُ وَلَا يَتْرُكُ اللَّهَ بَيْتَ وَبَرًا وَلَا مَدَرْ إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ هَذَا الدِّينِ. The messenger of Allah himself, Muhammad, says, I swear that this affair, meaning this religion of Islam, will spread as far as night and day spread. Is there anywhere that there's not night? I ask that question. I'm asking you, is there anywhere right now in this existence where there's no night? Is there any place right now where there's no day? Even though in Scandinavia, in some places, night is longer than day, but day eventually comes, right? He said, I swear, by who? Not by his mother. That's un-Islam. Not by his grandfather. That's un-Islam. Not by his leader or teacher. Not by the sun or the moon. I swear by Allah that this religion of Islam is going to spread as far as the night and day spread. And that Allah is not going to leave any house, hut house or stone house, igloo or otherwise, except that Allah is going to enter into each one of those houses, the religion of Islam. Email, internet, what have you. Islam is here, and it's like an out-of-control locomotive. You cannot stop it. And those who are trying to stop it really don't understand that it's for their benefit. To try to stop Islam is against them. Why? It's because Islam, as we mentioned earlier, is the perfect way of life. It's the total way of life. It's the complete way of life. It doesn't discriminate color. It doesn't make a distinction between class or otherwise. And that Islam eventually will give that person real peace. You want to know how to diminish depression among the human beings, among the American citizens, let's say, where depression in America is at its highest. We have some doctors here who can testify to this. Depression is at its highest. The state of the mental depression is at its highest in America right now. Do you want to know how to diminish the maternal mortality rate? Do you want to know how to diminish and rid yourself of substandard housing? Do you want to know how to diminish crime in general? It is by practicing and accepting the religion of Islam. This is the only way to do it. Why? It's because Islam, unlike pseudo-Islam, was designed by the Lord of the world. And we know that when someone designs something, they design it, if it's tailor-made, fit for that person. Not like Tommy Hilfiger. Not like his design, but when he designs it and it's tailor-made, he designs it, if it's tailor-made, specifically for that person. The designer of your way of life is the Lord of the world. Don't you think he knows what you need? And listen to this, for you who are non-Muslims or new Muslims or old Muslims. Islam is one size fits all. One size fits all. Whoever puts it on, whether they're 500 pounds, 800 pounds like a sumo wrestler, whether they're petite with a size 3 shoe, whether they're black with very kinky hair, no matter what they are, Islam fits all. It's one size. You don't have to alter it. No hemming needs to be done. No alterations whatsoever needed to Islam. Why would a person want to reject the perfect way of life given to them as a gift from the Lord of the world? Why? Who would refuse a gift from God? Except that person is bent to destruction. Just think about that. I myself, I'm poor, I don't have that much, but if I gave you $100 right now, if I reached into my pocket, of which you know I'm not going to do, and pulled out a $100 bill for everybody right now,
So here's a gift from Brother Dawood. How many people truthfully would reject that $100 bill? Raise your hand. You would? You would reject it? That's because you don't know what a $100 bill is. The little brother over there with his red shirt, he raised his hand. See? He doesn't understand. Him raising his hand, saying he would reject the $100 bill, is like you non-Muslims rejecting when I say accept Islam. He doesn't understand the reality. This is a gift from the Lord of the world, tailor-made for you. And no matter where you move to, you can move to Alaska, you can move to Tibet, Islam is still going to fit you. It can be winter, it can be summer, Islam is still going to fit you. And it's going to keep you warm in the winter, and it's going to keep you cool in the summer. Why? It's because the Lord of the world says in his book, his Quran, أَلَّا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Doesn't he know who he created? He knows who he created. He knows what's best for us. So, in the discussion of Islam and the difference between that and pseudo-Islam, those two or three factors need to be looked at very closely. Firstly, what do those people who claim to be in Islam say they're Muslims? How do they believe in Allah? What is their concept about Allah? Secondly, what do they say about Muhammad? Is he the final messenger and prophet? Or do they twist the meaning of the concept of finality of prophethood like the Qadianis of this area in Maryland do? That group now speaking to the Muslims, specifically now speaking to the Muslims, those groups called the Qadianis, the Ahmadiyyans, they twist the meanings of the Quran and they reject the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that no, Prophet Muhammad is not the last messenger, just like Farrakhan does with Elijah Muhammad, but on a more grandiose level. And lastly, they must look at Islam itself. That Islam doesn't distinguish class or color. That Islam is for everyone, and that it's the perfect way of life. There are many, many so-called pseudo and or neo-Islamic groups. Some of them you've probably never even heard of. Some of them you've probably never even heard of. There are also major figures in the news or otherwise who have nothing whatsoever to do with or very little to do with Islam. We're not going to call their names. We just want to give the description. And those descriptions we've given. So anyone, brothers and sisters in Islam, and anyone among you who are our brothers in humanity, who is interested in knowing what is real Islam and what isn't Islam, I would suggest that inshallah, it's the will of Allah, that you take some of these things that we brought for you as a small gift and read it. And if you can, read it again. And if you can, read it again. And consider your short life on this earth, your short existence in this mundane situation called earth, the life of this world, realizing that you are soon going to die. And that when you die, you're going to have to stand in front of the Lord of the world. Because it would be very easy to stand in front of a man. It would be very easy to stand in front of a man. Because for the most part, we're not afraid of men. But to stand in front of the Lord of the world, this is a bigger issue. So I'm inviting all of you, and I don't know, I should have checked the federal guidelines first, is it permissible for me to proselytize while I'm on this base? Is it permissible? If I was an officer, it would not be, right? But because I'm not an officer, it's okay for me to proselytize and to ask people to come to the way of Islam. Is it permissible? It is permissible. Thank you. I am now inviting you who are non-Muslims, or those of you who claim you're Muslim, 5%er, Farrakhan, Moore, Moorish Americans, those who claim, and I'm telling you to your faces, if you are those, you're not a Muslim. I'll tell you straight up, I'm going to keep it real. You're not a Muslim. You're not. You may be a Muslim or a Juslim, but you're not a Muslim. I'm inviting you now to come to the real Islam, the one that one size fits all. I'm asking you in the name of Allah, the one who created you and all of us, to return to Islam, to revert to Islam, before the dreadful day comes, which Allah says in the Quran, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Don't they really realize, don't they know that there's going to be a day of which they are going to be resurrected? A tremendous day, the day of which they're going to stand in front of the Lord of the world. So we're inviting you now to accept Islam. Whether you be male or female, black or white, we're inviting you now to accept Islam, to come back to the worship of the one true and living God who does not die, before that day comes. And we're also asking the Muslims, to reevaluate their position in this life and to take a closer look at your sins. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm saying it to myself firstly, because after Allah and then me, I know my sins more better than anyone. The Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, that actions are judged by the last thing you do. So with that, inshaAllah ta'ala, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and pardon me for anything that I've said that is a mistake. فَإِنْ أَصَبْتُ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ أَخْطَأْتُ فَمِنْ نَفْسِي. If I've said something that is correct, it is from Allah. And if I say something that is incorrect, it is from myself. And Allah is blameless and free of any mistakes or sins that I commit. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.